Blog Talk Radio.
Chance. Hallelujah. Thanking God for being a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and infinity opportunities. Thanking God this morning for all of you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm just grateful to be in the presence of the Lord and to start my day with prayer. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his grace and thanking God for his mercy because he loves us like that. He's a great and mighty God. And I just get filled up when I think about how good he is. So we are going to be starting today on this first day of February. Happy February. Happy Love Month, family. Happy Love Month. I love you. You love me. We love each other. That's how good God is. Happy Love Month. We are starting off today with love. So sending love your way. And our prayer this morning is speak of love. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow, what a great word. And then the prayer is, Jesus, you are the Lord over all. Your great love poured out unto death, and in resurrection power, you were raised back to life. You defeated the grave, rendered death powerless. I believe that you are the only one who saves. Yours is the kingdom and the glory, for I align myself to you, Lord. Fill me with everything I need for a life of faith. You have all the peace, all the love, all the courage, all the joy, everything I could ever think to ask for. Excuse me. And more. God, in your great power, I invite you to fill my life with your mercy. May it leak out of my life all over those I come in contact with. It's taking my breath. Excuse me. Wow. We must be going to make the devil mad today. God, in your great power, we're going to bring it in. Hallelujah. I invite you to fill my life with your mercy. May it leak out of my life all over those I come in contact with. Throughout my day, let your grace flow like a river to touch those I love and work with my heart. Is submitted. My heart is submitted to yours. Have your way in me. How do you see the love of Jesus working in your life? Is a question for this love month. How do you see Jesus working in your life? Heavenly Father God, I thank you for another day. I bind the spirit of the air. I bind him and send him right back to the pits of hell that he came from. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You are the air that I breathe. You are the song that I sing. I give myself away this morning, Lord God, for you to use me for your glory. That whoever may hear this word, Lord, that they will think of how good and how excellent and how great you are. And I lift this word asking you, Father God, as I do every day, please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and you are my redeemer. It is in you I give myself away. Again, Lord, use me. Use me for your glory. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God. And I'm your humble child, being obedient to your word. And it's in the blessed and holy and divine name of my Lord and Savior, my brother, my friend, my absolute, whose blood flows through my veins, for he covers me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet with his loving kindness. And he has drawn me, and I ask you, Lord, to help me draw others to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I cannot do anything without him. So grateful to be a child of the Most High, to know that I am loved. We are loved, and we can say, thank you, God, because he loves us, and there is just nothing we can do about it but just love him back. Do you love the Lord this morning? I know I do. I get all giddied up because I just know how good he is, how great he is. And as we get ready to go in our word this morning, we are still in the book of Exodus. And the Lord has done some stuff. Come on now. 10 plagues to the point where your firstborn of everything, not just the firstborn of the Egyptians, but the cow's firstborn, the maid's firstborn, the steward's firstborn, everybody's firstborn, except for the children of Israel firstborn. And the reason their firstborn did not die is because they were obedient to God. They were obedient. When God said, get that lamb, get that goat, take that blood, put it over the lintel and over the doorpost, and when you do that, the angel of death will go over you. That was what happened. God wanted to spare his children the pain of losing their children. And that's what he did. And that's what he does for us. He spares us pain. I'm not going to say he spares everyone pain, because I know that is not true. You know, as we have spoken, children have died. Mothers have died. Fathers have died. We know that life is a circle. We live and we die and we live again. And when we live again, we live in eternity. We live in eternity. We have a second life with God. And all we can say is, Lord, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to live again. And all we can do is be grateful. The children of Israel have their moments. We're going to find out some stuff. These folks lost their minds. You know, they get out into the desert and lost it. You know, even now, just starting off, they complain. Well, we, you know, especially when we get in our word this morning, you're going to see why they're complaining. Because they're going to look up and the Egyptians are following after them. Because the Egyptians come to a reality because God hardens their hearts. Their hearts get hardened and they say, wait a minute, hold on. We just let our labor source go. Who's gonna make the bricks? Who's gonna till the land? Who's gonna take care of the cattle? Who's gonna do the work that is required? Wait a minute, hold on. We done let our people go. Oh no, we got to go get them. And so what's going on is the children of Israel getting afraid. Now, understand, you got the biggest, baddest power of anything because your God can do all things but fail. And you are going to walk in fear? We can't walk in fear. We have to walk in faith knowing that our daddy God is in charge of everything and that he don't play. He is going to protect us. He is going to watch over us. He is going to guide and lead us because he is God. And he is in charge. And when we come to the realization that our Father is the boss, he is the true boss. He don't have to, you know, you have these folks, the greatest of all time. We don't need, God don't have to be a goat because God is in charge and he's greater than the greatest. He's greater than anything you could ever imagine or think. Why? Because he is the creator of it all. He is the creator of it all. So all we can do is say, thank you, God, for another day. And we are not going to waste it. We're not going to throw it away. We're going to walk in righteousness. Woo, hallelujah. Tell God, thank you. And as we go into our word this morning, the title that God gave me is the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Woo! We hear that term, hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. The children of Israel about to ready to run. God's like, oh, hold your peace. I got this. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. And that's what he's telling us every day. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. I got you. I got you. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And don't worry. Quit worrying. And he has to tell me that all the time because I can be a worry wart. Lord, you know, what about? And God's like, what about what? I got you. Now, you need to stop. And that's what he's telling us today. You need to stop. I got you. And the word of God says in Exodus 13, we'll be at Exodus 13. 14, 15, 16, and 17 and 18. So Exodus 13 to 18, God willing and permitting, we'll get it all. And the word of God says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and beasts, it is mine. I'm a firstborn. And I know for a fact that I belong to God. Hallelujah. I belong to God. And so all firstborn out there know who you belong to. And then it says, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day. You are going out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for which a strong hand, by which with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord in the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. All the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed, come on now, the Lord killed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males and open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea opposite of El Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. Here we go again. Complainers. Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? But it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. There is always a complainer in every bunch. And then it goes on to say, and this is where our title is coming from this morning, chapter first 14 of chapter 14. So 14 and 14 of Exodus will be our title this morning. But verse 13 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, keep your tongue behind your teeth. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horses. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went before them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood between them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Keep your tongue behind your teeth, because when God says he's going to do it, he will do it. We just got to trust and believe in our Father God, that he's got us covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. Our Father God loves us like that. He cares about us like that. And he wants us to know that we are special to him, that he fights our battles, that he knows us by name, that he cares about us, that he wants the best for us All we have to do is believe. Do you believe this morning? I know. I'm filled up. I believe because I know that my daddy's got me covered from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, that everything that needs to be done, he will help me do it. But he fights for me. He cares for me. And he will protect me. Hallelujah. I thank my daddy today. I hope you're thanking yours this morning, telling God, thank you, Daddy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for keeping me covered under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are part of the Father's family. And as we go into our word, Exodus chapter 15, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Who I love this song by, and it, I believe it's one of the passages. The Lord is my strength and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. We can't walk in fear. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his army he has cast into the sea. You know, we used to say, Mary, don't you weep. Even though this has absolutely nothing to do with Mary weeping. You know, tell Martha not to mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. And it's like, what does Pharaoh's army drowning in the Red Sea have to do with Mary weeping? But, you know, that's just the question that I had. That's why we have to be very careful when we sing songs, that the songs make sense. That's a song that don't make sense, but it sure is a great song. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, now, oh, Mary, don't you weep. You know, we have to, you know, tell Martha not to mourn. You know, but the thing is, Pharaoh's army driving in the Red Sea has absolutely nothing to do with Mary weeping. So remember that when you hear that song. And as we go forth, it says, and the depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. And who is the right hand of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ? Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your water, your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the little g gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will hold the inhabitants of Philistia. The chief of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as steel as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Ooh, what a word. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed greatly, graciously, gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Woo! Glorious. Make our praises glorious this morning. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Sir. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all, put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Chapter 16. And they journeyed from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full." Here we go again. Come to me. "For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" But they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat, this thing which the Lord has commanded, Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath. Rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Take what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 days you will not find it in the field. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there will be none. Now it happened, come on now, that some of the people went out on the seventh day together, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long did you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you one the sixth day. Bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Seal an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now, an omer is one-tenth of an ephah. God provides. He fights our battle, and he provides for our needs. Give God thanks. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, chapter 17 of Exodus, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. I want to put a pin right there. Now, in this case, told Moses to strike the rock, right? Now, Moses didn't make it into the promised land because at another time, later on, close to the 40-year mark, these folks going to whine and complain some more about water. And God's going to tell Moses, speak to the rock. But instead, Moses is so sick and tired. Now, you think about it. He done been with these complaining, whiny folks for almost 40 years. and they just whining and complaining, and he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. He didn't know to hold his peace. He couldn't hold it anymore. He just got tired, and he, bam, hit that rock when he was told to speak to it. And because of his disobedience, he didn't make it into the promised land. He was able to see it, but after 40 years, not enter it because he was disobedient. We don't want to see eternity and not make it in because of disobedience. We got to keep God first and honor what he tells us to do. Whew, Lord. That's just the word God gave me now. So let's keep our word going so we don't make everything today in our Old Testament Friday. And it goes on to say, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contentions of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord and saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called his name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord is sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Chapter 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel. Oh, hold on, let me go back. Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took the poor Moses' wife after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. But he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eliezer. And he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tent, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, his father-in-law, before God. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit? And all the people stand before you from morning till evening. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the status of God, statutes of God, and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. But this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, rulers over tens. So they judged the people at all times. In hard cases, they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. God will send good advice to us. So many times we want to do it ourselves. I can do it myself. I know I have that awful habit. Me, I have it. I can do it myself. I don't need any help. But then God sent help to me, Mother Valerie, and I was grateful because, as you can see, after you read for an hour almost, your voice starts to go and you get fatigued because the voice and what you read is also a ministry. And when people don't realize, when pastors preach, they need to be rejuvenated because it is work, because you're doing the work of God, but you have to do it with a good heart and know that God will be with you. God was with me for all those years, and then God sent someone to help because my plate was getting too full. So I'm grateful for Mother Valerie, and I believe that God is going to send another helper. I'm believing that, but we will see what God is going to do because I trust in him. Why? Because he fights my battle, and all I have to do is hold my peace. And as we go back into our word over some life lessons, and when we go back to Exodus chapter 13, it says, lest perhaps change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. The trip was not supposed to take very long. If they had gone through the land of Philistines, they'd have been there, but they were not ready. And so God took them the long way, as they say. They didn't take the shortcut. They took the long way. And so that God is a practical God, and he deals with us according to our nature. So he will always lead us in a way appropriate to us. And in Exodus 13 and 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. When we personally know the Lord, we never need to feel in the dark. In how we follow him, God provides everything we need for light in him, and that includes illumination of the path before us. Won't he do it? Chapter 14, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel that they shall camp before it by the sea. Sometimes the Lord purposefully leads us into situations that look like dead end, not only to test our faith, but also to show his power and complete control over all situations. Wherever he leads, we must follow. And then our word, do not be afraid, stand still. see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. That was verse 13. And we know verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. But then when we go back to verse 13, it says throughout the scripture, we read the phrase, do not be afraid. It is God's refrain to his people, wherever their circumstances, whatever we're going through. Because God said, don't be afraid. But he has promised to save and deliver us. All we have to do is believe it. Believe that he will. That he will take care of whatever it is. Chapter 15, verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. We can find great comfort during times of difficulty in knowing that God has promised that he was, is, and always will be in control, not only over world events, but also over all events in our own lives. God's got you. Exodus 15, 22, 23. They should not drink the waters of Marah, but they were bitter. They could not drink this water. So be careful what you name your children. Don't name your child Marah because it means bitter. Immediately after miraculous triumph at the Red Sea, God led Israel for 3 days on a route devoid of water. Why? The Lord trains us to trust him by letting us experience both need and abundance. Been there. In need and in abundance. God will take care of us. He will show you yourself. And when you have abundance, God will show you how you behave. Come on now. And when you have need, God will make you dependent on him. And this is a answers to life questions from Exodus 16, 1 through 3. And it says, from cover to cover, the Bible is full of God's promises to provide for our needs. Our Heavenly Father always gives, always loves, always remains generous toward his children. In the first few chapters of Genesis, the Lord gives the first man and woman a perfect garden. In Revelations, we read about our ultimate home, a perfect and eternal heaven. In all the books between, we read how God delights in blessing his people. At the very outset of the New Testament, we read how God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as his ultimate gift of blessing to provide what we need most of all, forgiveness of sin and restored fellowship with God. When you limit yourself to your own ability and resources, you run out of both commodities very quickly. But when you focus your faith on what God can do for you, you discover an infinite supply that cannot be measured or depleted. God's resources are 100% inflation-proof and recession-proof. The very nature of God gives you assurance of his abundant provision. God is. If you want to write it down, omnipotent. The Lord knows your need. He knows it even before than you do. And he knows it even better than you do and before you do. Matthew 6 and 8. Omnipotent. The Lord has all power to supply you whatever you need. Philippians 4 and 19. God is at work even now to meet your needs. Psalms 34, 7, and 8. Not only do you have the character of God as your assurance that he is going to provide for you, but you also have the testimony of God's past performance in providing for his people. The scriptures repeatedly point to him as a faithful source of life. Consider just a few examples from the book of Exodus. He made a way for his people to cross the Red Sea and find deliverance from their enemies. He provided manna for the people to eat in the wilderness. He caused water to gush forth from a rock to quench the people's thirst. He gave his commandments to his people even when they lacked moral fiber. He healed his people when poisonous snakes struck them. As the Israelites left behind the only home they had ever known in Egypt, God provided for all their needs. He provided for their protection, their basic physical necessities, food and water, spiritual grounding and healing. He does the same for us today. Can you say thank you, Lord? Exodus 16, verse 4. the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Provides regular tests to see whether we will obey him, whether we fully understand the reasons for his commandments or not. But obedience always brings blessings. Praise the Lord. Exodus 16:8. Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. When we complain about our circumstances and blame others, in fact, we're complaining against the Lord, who exercises complete control over our circumstances. And when we look at our circumstances in that light, that God is in complete control, we can't blame anybody. We got to just wait on the Lord and hold our peace. And it says in Exodus 17:7, is the Lord among us or not? In times of difficulty, it is easy to start wondering, is the Lord among us or not? If we have placed our faith in him, however, he has promised to be with us. So the question actually casts doubt on his truthfulness. Exodus 17:12, Moses' hands became heavy, so Aaron and Hur supported his hands. In order to succeed in the Christian life, we need the help and support of others. No believer has ever been called to go it alone in his or her walk of faith. We need help, and our help comes from the Lord. Exodus 18:8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake. It helps us to discuss with others what God has been doing in our lives, both the triumphs and the challenges. Faithful involvement with other believers glorifies God and blesses them. Exodus 18:23. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. God often uses the advice of wise counselors to help us find his will for our lives. Of course, any helpful counsel has to line up with the word of God and will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit. When we follow godly, spirit-led counsel, it will lead us to peace. Hallelujah. We got to hold our peace and let God show us what to do. And some good advice as we wrap up this morning. It is the attitude that has defeated so many servants of God. Remember, your attitude will determine your altitude. If I want it done right, I got to do it myself. Ooh, ouch. Instead of revealing godly commitment and skill, this attitude exposes our pride and need for control. Destructive characteristics that do not honor God. God will take you down. You know, we're going to be a couple of minutes over 8, but please listen to this word. It was this attitude Moses unknowingly struggled with when his father-in-law Jethro came to confront him. When Jethro learned that Moses was judging all the people of Israel by himself, Jethro said, "The thing that you do is not good, but you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Moses probably realized there was a problem, but what could he do about it? Only he knew the statutes and laws of God. If we are honest, we'll admit that there have been times when we've said the same thing about ourselves. I say it again, ouch, that shoe is fitting. I'm the one who knows how that program works. There's no one else who knows how to put this event together. If I don't do it, they're just going to make a mess of it. Can you see the prideful nature of those statements? Absolutely. We do ourselves no favor when we wear ourselves out with activities because we cannot let them go. When we will not trust anyone else with them. We, like Moses, must take Jethro's advice in Exodus 18:20, Jethro and the law, and show them the way in which they must walk, the work they must do. We must choose trustworthy, godly people to follow in our footsteps. We must teach them what we know so that they can serve the Lord too. It's true that we may eventually work ourselves out of a job, but that's good because then we'll ensure that the work will carry on even when we are gone. And that is absolutely essential when doing ministry. Wow, what a great word this morning. And before we leave today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. He is omnipresent, always and everywhere. Have a thankful Thursday. And that is our word for this morning. And we will be thankful, for we know that when we hold our peace, God fights our battles. Thank you so much for staying this extra minute with me this morning. But God's word was so important that I didn't want to let you go without all of it. And Sister Curler's word was right on point with everything we need to do. So I just want to say thank you, family. Have a blessed day. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you for spending some time with me in the Word of God. Have a great day. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.